Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sam Legasic.
And I'm Dreadful Dan Gallagher. And we're two old buddies that have lived our life at the edge of the mainstream.
So come join us where things are a little odd.
This is the
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
Hi everyone, welcome to Oddcast Movies, Music and Gaming. And today, I've got a very special guest with me, Leona. From Jen the Band. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing all right, thanks. I got some sunshine today, so happy me. And yeah, I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
Good, I am very well. Thank you very much. Leona, tell us a little bit about who you are and Jen and all this, because I saw you guys in Hope and Ruin.
Oh, yeah. That was back in December, wasn't it?
It was only a couple of months ago, I swear.
I've just lost track of time, unfortunately, so I'm sorry.
That's all right. I started thinking, God, was it that long ago? I think it was only a couple of months ago, but really loved what you guys did. You were playing Magic Mountain, who are great as well. It'd be great to hear a little bit more about you, about the band and the music. But before we do that, I should say the reason why you're here today, which should make a bit more sense for a bit of context for people who might have looked at the title and been like, what the hell, what's going on, is that we're going to be talking about one of your favorite films.
Yeah.
One of your favorite films, which is The Green Ray.
Bah non, je pars avec personne. Enfin, pour l'instant, je pars avec personne.
Bah, tu vas bien trouver quelqu'un quand même.
Pourquoi tu ne pars pas toute seule?
Parce que ça me branche pas.
Mais c'est merveilleux de partir toute seule.
Je trouve ça inhumain.
Je te dis que c'est comme ça qu'on fait des rencontres.
Bah, moi, j'ai rencontré personne.
Viens, Cherbourg. Viens. On va s'amuser, on va rencontrer des gens.
Tu veux qu'on aille à la mer demain?
Faire de la voile.
Je veux bien aller à la mer,
mais... So... Tell us a little bit about yourself, as I said, and what this film actually means to you as well.
Yeah, so I'm Maltese by origin. So I come from the island of Malta in the Mediterranean Sea. I've moved to the UK around 2.5 years ago. To basically keep on working on the band, because obviously Fia joined the band, the drummer. And we had to relocate, so that's been fun. I don't know. Alongside, I was always like really interested and fascinated by the new wave, French cinema movement, and I tried to study art in Malta, but I just think that at that time it wasn't something for me, like university. I kind of like try to be more like hands-on and just do as many things as I can and just learn that way, basically. Because the idea of academics just gave me like major anxiety. And I was just always very specific, like, of what I want to do. So, yeah, and alongside, obviously, the band helped me to develop more my career. From that end, I would say. So, yeah, I direct the music videos for Jen. I do obviously take care of the art direction, do any artworks that needs to be done. So, yeah, the Green Array.
Yeah, so tell me about, so Jen, did you guys start in Malta then and then you came here? Is that how it was?
Yeah. So actually, it started with just me and Janelle, who is the guitarist,
okay.
At the age of 13,
mm-hmm.
when we were in high school. We had to like adapt this poem into like this multidisciplinary thing, I guess, was it? Yeah, I think it was that. And yeah, we basically just started out this band. And yeah, just Janelle convinced me that I should do it and I should be in it. And I was like, well, mate, I just don't like to be seen. So I don't know how this is going to work out, but fair enough.
And yeah, so but what happened? So you guys moved over here. When was that? When did that actually happen?
Yeah, that was early 2019, to be specific. But right. The band was just like kind of in a liminal state just between like late 2018 and 2019, mm-hmm. Because we kind of wanted to establish ourselves in the UK before we actually move, you know, especially in Brighton and in London. So yeah, then we ended up here because we just miss the sea so much.
Yeah, I bet. I love Brighton. It's great down there. So I actually live on the sea here. I won't say specifically where, just in case people come and try and trap me down. But yeah, my wife grew up near the sea and she needs to be near water at all times. So yeah, and I actually grew up in not too far from Brighton either. So that was always, mm-hmm. you know, the trip to the coast and love it then, the culture and all this stuff. And it fits in really nicely with what you guys do. Because yeah, I just wonder how would you kind of describe your music for anyone that's, you know, interested, that's not heard you guys before? How would you describe it?
I would say very Jen, mm-hmm. but that would be a bit like, yeah, I need to explain more and elaborate, I guess. I would say just like, just this cocktail of what we love, and because we all come from different backgrounds as well. So I would say maybe experimental, psychedelic, post-punk, rock. Mm-hmm. But definitely on the experimental side, especially like the new stuff that we're working on. I've shared the secret. Oh no, it's okay. Don't worry.
It's an exclusive.
Yeah. But yeah, the stuff that we're working on is very much experimental and louder, I would say as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cause it's quite a unique sound. I found, when I went to see you guys, because it sounds as if, because quite a few of your songs, and we won't kind of dwell too long on it, don't worry, but quite a lot of your songs seem to vary, if that makes sense, in terms of style.
Yeah.
And all this. So it definitely seems like you guys have progressed. So, yeah, I'm interested to see this experimental new ground. loud and experimental is something that we love here, so that's no bad thing. But you guys have got an album out recently, right, as well?
Yeah, an extended play called Liminal, which came out actually earlier this year in March, and yeah, that has been going well actually, because you know, like from an artist's perspective, like you never know what's going to happen. In a way, you're kind of like really anxious to get it out there, and you kind of like, in a way, just see it from a totally different perspective. Like you'd like, well, yeah, I'm already working on to the next thing, you know, I'm not even thinking about this thing right now. And it's just like you're in the middle of obviously the whole campaign and everything, and it's just, yeah, when obviously people respond to it, it's just like really bizarre in a good way. It's like, oh wow, people can actually relate to this, you know? How cool is that?
Exactly. Yeah. It's, and as well, like, do you write the lyrics? And if so, like, talking, this is me making a segue now into film, but is there, in terms of like, as you were saying, like French New Wave cinema and all this stuff, does that impact your writing, your lyrics, or anything like that, do you feel?
100%. I would say I actually don't know how I managed to be in this position of being in a band, because it's just like I always kind of like have the vision first and then kind of like words come later, if that makes sense. So yeah, mm-hmm. I take most of my inspiration from watching tons and tons of movies. And at that time I was watching a lot of Varda when we wrote Liminal. So there's a lot of reference to the sea. There's a lot of self-reflection that you can see in Catalyst. And then you've got Mackerel's Funky Mission, which is just, yeah, just my brain. So yeah, I would say more than music, I get more inspired by the visual. Yeah, and even the themes that I tend to kind of like linger on would be just this like self-contemplation and, yeah, self-discovery, existentialism, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is perfect for the Green Ray. So yeah, how is, so tell me a little bit about your background with this film. Like, how did you discover it? Why do you like it so much?
I actually discovered it because I was reading something about like Agnès Varda on an article, and she mentioned Eric Rohmer as her like main inspiration as well on Insight. So I was like, yeah, okay, Eric Rohmer, let me just have a quick look what this is. And this film in particular could just be like my biography, honestly, like from start to finish. Like, it just speaks to me like directly, and it's just a bit scary actually, because yeah, I could relate to it so much in so many ways. I've always suffered from social anxiety, and yeah, I was always like much more in my head, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And just like this walking contradiction where I kind of like, for example, want to be in a relationship but then have major trust issues,
mm-hmm.
for example. Or, yeah, having social anxiety and just being really scared of people and really shy, but then being in a band. Just like these really odd contradictions, so to speak. And like wanting a really stable, normal life, but then having to be an artist, which is just like fluctuating all the time. So it's just, yeah, like the themes that Eric Rohmer delves into and the philosophies are just very much, yeah, relatable in my own world, I guess.
Yeah, I see, yeah. And did you watch any other, because what I didn't realise, so I should say, in terms of this film, I've never watched it. I've only watched it literally for this.
Oh, that's
for this,
okay.
For this chat. But I did a bit of research, and Eric Rohmer, who is a name I've never seen, well, as far as I know, I haven't seen anything else that he's done, but I've seen his name kind of crop up a few times over the years. This is his fifth in a series of six of what's loosely called comedies and proverbs series of films. Have you watched any of the others on that list? Because I was just interested in how this might fit in.
I didn't actually know that it was part of the series, because the way I do it is just like I just see what I can find available of that director and then I just watch it. So for example, Pauline at the Beach as well, I'm not sure if that's part of the series, but yeah, I watched that. There's another one, but it has a French title. But it was basically about this story of this protagonist. Is in a relationship, but is also like wondering, like, why am I in a relationship when I can just go out with other people and just like do what I want and have that freedom? But at the same time, she's just like, again, contradicting herself by being in a relationship, etc., etc. So yeah, it's just this ongoing theme, which is almost like funny. I find it very hilarious, you know, when it's just like seeing them suffer in that way, the protagonists. I mean don't get me wrong, I don't like to see people suffering, but do you know what I mean?
There is a humor to it in this film, like especially, which I found quite strange. So for people that don't know, Green Ray is a 1986 film by, as we said, Eric Roma. I don't know if I'm saying that right, or like Eric Roma, like some English thug. It's also known as Summer. I think in America it was called Summer. Basically, so it was shot on 16mm, which I thought was interesting, with the skeleton crew of just four people. It's just four people going around.
Such a skinny crew, isn't it? Like, bizarre.
It's crazy. But it kept them agile, because part of it is hopping around all these different locations. Credited as being co-written with Marie Riviere, who is the main actress in this, because a lot of this movie is improvised, and it used a lot of Riviere's own family, Roma's friends and family, I believe. And it is, I mean, I was trying to think, like, what is this basically about? And there's the serious answer, which is, you know, as you've pointed out, it's like it's a kind of character piece about someone who is trying to, you know, find themselves, going through a bit of an existential crisis. Superficially, I wrote down someone who's having trouble choosing a holiday.
That's true.
Because there's that element of it where she's, she's just kind of trying to find somewhere. Everyone keeps offering her places to go on holiday, and she does. She just goes to like four or five different places.
Yeah, and she's holiday. Like, "Oh, I have no friends," and everyone is just telling her to go out, you know. And she's like, "No, I have no friends."
Exactly, it's so weird. She would just be like walking down, and be like, "Oh, here's someone I haven't seen in 10 years. You should have my apartment by the coast or whatever." And she's like, "Oh, okay, if I have to," and then she'll go there and cry about it.
That is actually quite funny how you're portraying it.
There is that element to it, but I think that's part of it. I think that's kind of there on purpose, and that's why, as I was watching it, I felt weird, basically, because I was like, there's nothing happening, and there's also lots of things happening. So if someone could watch that and be, someone could watch it and be like, I don't get it. Like, nothing happens. And it's like, yeah, I can understand why you'd say that. But at the same time, there's these loads of little like micro emotions almost, in terms of like, as we're saying, like some things are quite funny, like how she reacts to stuff. So it's very sad. She's quite a sad character. And there's also, you're feeling her social anxiety, which makes you anxious. And also, like, because the music is very, like, minimal, and if I remember right, it's kind of almost like a screeching violin. That sounds
very sad and melancholic.
Yeah, well, to me, it sounded a bit like a horror thing as well. Like, I was a bit like, it's a bit scary actually, like that kind of sound if you isolated it. But the situation she's finding herself in, she's essentially quite scared. Let's get into the thick of it. I'm really interested, basically, in scene, almost scene by scene, how you felt watching it, especially seeing as you feel like it's something very, you know, personal and close to you. Because I had no idea. I came in completely fresh. I had no idea I didn't even read the summary. I had no idea what it was going to be about. That first bit when she kind of picks up the phone, and I thought it was her boyfriend at first, which kind of does make sense, because there's this kind of narrative that they don't talk about, which is that she's basically been dumped and refusing
for a long-term relationship or something.
But she keeps telling people that it's like, oh no, we're still kind of together, and it's like, you're not. By the sounds of it, you're not. But they don't really, and you never see this person, but she gets a phone call and it's like, oh, she's being dumped by a mate, basically, in a holiday that's supposed to go on in 2 weeks. And even on that shot, I was like, okay, this is interesting, because it's got two women beside her chatting amongst their own, whilst she's like, oh, you know, I thought we were going to, and I was just like, these people just like don't care. Like, she's clearly like upset. And I thought she was being dumped by a bloke to begin with. And I was like, God, imagine getting that phone call and you're like, colleagues are like just sitting there chatting, like not listening, not caring or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I thought that was quite a good setup because it kind of already like isolates her with her feelings and her own thing going on. And it's
She feels like almost invisible, doesn't she? That's why, you know, it's very much relatable because it's just kind of like, yeah, especially if you're a very anxious person, you already have this kind of like disassociation that no one is going to understand me. So, you know, you just feel very, disassociated, but I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, and for the next few scenes, and well, throughout the whole film, really, I felt like she's constantly surrounded by people. So if you, and pretty much every single scene, I feel like, and there's a couple where she goes for like a walk and she starts crying and running into a field and she's by herself. But in every other scene, I feel like she's just constantly, there's groups of people, there's people everywhere as a constant reminder of like how lonely she is. And it really comes through on this first few scenes where she's basically jumping from like her friends are all like, they're coupled up or they have families and things like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I loved all that stuff. I thought that was, it was really nice like to see everyone being like, no, come on, you know, get with it. But yeah, at first I was just like, oh, she's lame. Like, come on, like just, you know, liven up a bit. Like you just want to shake her, like, come on, just, you know, do something. Don't
That's
just
interesting that it. You say that, because from my perspective, like how I understand it is that the other way around, like society doesn't understand like solitude and loneliness. Like a lot of people are afraid of that, whereas she's pretty much brave to me because she tries to escape. It's so hard, but she's constantly being, as you said, like, reminded in a way that, oh yeah, you have to join your family, oh yeah, you have to join your friends, we have to eat together, we have to go for drinks with these men, we have to do this, we have to do that, you know, it's just, which leaves like no clarity whatsoever.
You're right, there's like that, there's constant hints, and especially in this opening sequence as well, of like that social of kind of fitting into the social norms, find a bloke, you know, go with your family or whatever and all this stuff. She's kind of like, no, I don't really want to, like, you know, I don't, you know, and everyone's like, you can't go by it. Yeah. Well, she's actually complaining, if I remember rightly, actually, that she's like, I don't want to go by myself. And they're like going, go on a group holiday then, like in a, you know, a coach or whatever. And she's like, I don't want to do that. I was just watching it thinking, just go on holiday. And that changed throughout the movie. But that first bit, I was like, I don't understand. Like, I was like, I don't understand what the problem is. It's like 15 minutes in and she's trying to choose a holiday.
Eh, with Romare, it's always very much like when you see like a couple of his movies, it's always just like pretty much, the nuances that he uses are just like genius, basically. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just like,
He's finding those like little, almost, I don't want to say boring, but like non-eventful kind of moments that actually speak volumes about the people involved. And I think like personally as well, like I have, because I've got family and all this stuff. And sometimes when you see, when you're with like single people, especially my age, who have always been single for the most part, which is fine. And obviously that's all right. And then it's like, yeah, they kind of, you know, they might come over and they feel a little like awkward because they've got like my children jumping up and down on them or whatever. And they're talking about, you know, like their, holiday in Greece or something like that, or like they're having boy problems or something. And it's just a bit like, okay, yeah, cool. Like, you know what I mean? I was kind of watching it thinking of that, how like sometimes I'm like the family kind of thing where it's like, this is like our social structure. Like we have kind of fitted into like, I have gone through the social norm of like having a family and having kids and stuff. But some people still...
There's nothing wrong with that, obviously.
Yeah, and it's nothing wrong with that choice, but I can understand how someone would feel awkward And I can feel that awkwardness in person when that happens, basically. And as I was watching it, I was feeling that again, if that makes sense. It was kind of reminded me of that, how sometimes it can be quite difficult.
Yeah, definitely. No, definitely. I mean, I'm just oversharing maybe here, but I spend most of my time like alone. I do have a partner, obviously now. But yeah, I did start like dating pretty late and all of that stuff pretty late. And I've just kind of like always valued solitude. So maybe that's why to me it's just like, I don't know. Yeah, I can literally feel it. Feel the awkwardness in a way where you kind of want something like, you're waiting for something like deep and something that is just worthy, basically. You don't want to settle for anything else. And you kind of have this ideal in your head, which is why it's contradicting, obviously, because, yeah, it's just like, I don't know. She's just trying to find this ideal, which at the end of the day, she kind of like finds in a way through a different medium, but it's not even her own ideal. She just overhears, you know, a conversation.
Yeah, that's interesting, actually. Yeah, because it's not, she's kind of falling in love with the romance that someone else almost feels about it. The green ray itself, which is a good point, I haven't really said it, and I've not read it. Apparently it's a book by Jules Verne, but it's about that last moment of the sun basically going, setting. And if you're lucky, by the sounds of it, you'll notice like a little green line, which is how the light is refracted, et cetera, et cetera. But you see a little bit of green and that's the green ray, like as in the last moment of light. And they say something and she says, and it's got this kind of mystical, like metaphysical thing about it. And they've got, because it's a bunch of old people talking about it, and they say something like, it gives you insight into yours and other people's minds or something like that, which
without speaking, like you feel the aura of that person or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. And she kind of, you know, loves the idea of that. And there's a lot of, they talk about green and, you know, green at the beginning, where she's like going up, and she picks up, I'm kind of jumping around here, sorry, but yeah, she picks up like a card. And it has the Queen of Spades, and then later on, it's the Queen of Hearts or whatever. If I remember rightly, but she says it was a green card, and that green's the color, and it means hope or something like that. And they're all talking about it, and she spends a lot of time in like greenery, in nature, and things like that.
It's weird, isn't it? Just because also I'm like reminding myself of that scene where she's overhearing a conversation. I don't know whether it happened to you, but again, why it was so relatable to me, because I used to go like out for dinner on my own, or like to a gig by myself, or to the cinema by myself. And I almost feel like I'm like in a conversation with some people, but it's in my head. Like I'm not part of the conversation. Like I'm not actually talking, but I'm just obviously overhearing, you know, and I feel like I'm talking to myself, almost like how I would respond to that conversation.
Yeah.
And that scene in particular was just like, so relatable, because I did that so many times, you know, and I would just go out by myself and there would be like a group of friends talking about something and I'm almost like in the conversation, but I'm invisible. You know, I'm only having a conversation with myself, how I would respond to things, but I don't actually initiate, because I wouldn't want to do that.
Hi, do you mind if I just, I've just been overhearing what you've been saying and I've got some comments. I've got some comments to say to that. I remember I'm going off on a tangent now, but through work, I've had to spend a lot of time going around the world, which is great. But the sad part of it is that a lot of it is obviously by myself. And spending a lot of nights in the middle of nowhere, having to go to restaurants, as you said, like going to restaurants by yourself and all this, and doing a lot of that. And you find like when everyone's like, you get a cool hotel room for like 2 weeks, you're like, yeah, it's not that cool. After like the second night where you're like, I don't know anyone. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. But I remember, I remember I was in a restaurant once and I was sitting eating by myself. And these two guys came up to me And she's in, I was in America, I can't remember where in America, Atlanta, I think. And they were like, oh, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm right. They're like, okay, I can sense that there's some trouble going on. I'm like, no, just sitting there. And obviously they're like American and I'm just like this like English dude, like, no, it's all right, I'm fine. And they're like, no, there's something, you're troubled by something. I'm like, honestly, I'm not troubled by anything. I'm quite happy. I'm just sitting here eating. Like, I think I was looking, reading a book on my phone or something. And then the other guy was like, it's okay. Like, he just wants to talk to you about God. And I was like, yeah, I don't believe in God. And he was like, oh, please just let's pray for you. And I was like, you can pray for me, but if you could do it on the other table, that'd be preferable. And I thought, just because what you're saying, I thought that is a fucking ballsy move to be like, I'm going to go sit with this guy and chat to him. It just looks like who's just reading a fucking book, like eating, just being like, I think. You look troubled. Sorry, could not have looked less troubled if I tried.
Oh, that's brilliant. I love that story.
Yeah, it was a very strange experience. Yeah, and I had a lot of, America was weird. I mean, I don't know how much, if you spent any time over there, but when I went to...
I've only been to like New York and Brooklyn, I guess.
Yeah, I love New York. But yeah, when I went to like the Deep South, went to Memphis and all that around there. It's not Deep South, but there's like people like speaking in tongues in like diners and no one thinks anything of it. It's like proper, like, I'm not going to do it. But you know, that whole like, or they just spout nonsense like, oh, praise the Lord and all this. And I'm just like, these are crazy people. Like I was thinking, imagine if you just got this in the middle of, yeah. Maybe it does happen and I'm just not aware of it over here. But yeah, and people again were like coming up to their tables and all this stuff, and you know, kind of getting involved with it and all this. And I think maybe it's a very British thing where it's like you sit in your your compartment.
Yeah. It's also very Mediterranean. I don't know, but yeah, in my culture, that everyone gets involved, be it your neighbor, be it your grandparents, be it everyone, the whole island wants to be involved, you know. It's very like much ingrained in the med culture. That's why maybe I feel like I don't actually can't relate to that at all.
Yeah,
and that's why I live in the UK, because I'm more
that, British.
Yeah. not too British, but yeah, I prefer that sense of individuality and just like my own space, my own bubble. No touching.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. You get a lot of that, yeah. But that makes sense, kind of like how you'd feel with this film as well, because there's a lot of like just people with families, they're all talking over each other and all this, and they just don't, there's moments, because a lot, as we said, like a lot of it's improvised, which is great, but it's like, she can't put a foot right. It feels like it's, you know, when they bring like the lamb or something out and she's like, I'm a vegetarian, and then she has to justify it. And then she goes big speech about like having airy food and she wants to feel lighter and all this. And they're just like, what are you talking about? And all that, and you just think, oh God, like there's part of you which is just like, just leave her alone, like she's vegetarian, like whatever. It's part of you which is just like, just stop talking, like just leave it be. But there's also that bit of like when they're saying, oh, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? She's like, no, I get seasick, or no, I don't want to do anything.
Yeah, that's why I can relate to that as well, because it's just like she only talks about the things that she's very much like, you know, passionate about in a way. So like she describes the lettuce as her friend or something like that.
That's
or
right,
vegetables
yeah.
are her friends. Now it's like, oh God. It's so random.
Yeah,
she's just like really awkward, you know, in her own way, the character. So it's just like, yeah, you could say that she doesn't really fit into this normal, you know.
Yeah.
Like she just wants to have these like deep philosophical conversations constantly about things that interest her.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, she's like doing all of this with their own people, you know, in a society that doesn't necessarily understand that, especially her friends. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's, and I think I was watching it going like, she's depressed. Like, I mean, she's obviously depressed, like, yeah, she's crying, and she, and it gets like worse, if you know what I mean. But even at the beginning, when she's like, you know, I don't really want to do things, I was like, these are all like telltale signs for depression, which is, you know, anxiety is a part of that as well, and all this. And yeah, so kind of, it does make you feel, and I think there's that element that sometimes people have with depression and mental health, like generally, where it's just a bit like, you know, come on, like, pick up. And I'm guilty of it, as I said, like, to begin with. But as you kind of get in, you start noticing the signs and stuff. And as other people are kind of doing around her, it's kind of like, you know, stop moping around, you know, just come on, do this and do whatever, without actually noticing that she's actually...
Like, no one is actually listening, you know, or asking her, how are you really? You know, how are you really? Everyone is just like, yeah, I guess... I find this pretty much like very common, like in certain, like, I don't know, corporate structures, where you're just kind of like in a workplace, for example, and everyone is just like, oh, it's so sunny outside, or it's, oh, I love the weather, or whatever, you know, it's just like talking very like, what are you on about? You know, like, don't talk to me if you don't feel like talking to me, but just don't try to like fake nice me, you know? It's just like, there's literally no need for that. That's why we're all sick in the brain.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the nice thing as well, is that the people that she, well, it depends, like, some of the people she's with, like, do genuinely like care about her as well. And then, yeah, some of the, and then when it, especially like when it comes to the men as well, the men in this film, Jesus. Wow. Like, from everything, I think, like, the first guy, the first, because you see a lot of the guys, they're all kind of coupled up and whatever, and they all seem fairly, whatever, normal. But then there's that bit about a quarter of the way through where she's walking, and it is the weirdest man. Like, he's got like a little vest on, very like taut, tight body, very small. And he basically is just like stalking her. And all that. She's like, do you want to take a photo? And he's like, yeah, sure. Do you want a cigarette? And she kind of walks off. But even that bit, I was like, I feel anxious for her, like, there. And it's like creepy. And that's the thing with all the guys in it, apart from that final guy, they all look a bit sleazy and dirty and weird. And she even says at one point, like, oh, they're just interested in sex, basically. They don't really care about me or anything like that. But the casting of these men, I was like, this is great. But they're all ugly.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was so painful, that scene as well, when she was with that Swedish girl who's obviously very confident, you know. And she's not, like, not bothered to be seen, which is why it's so great, because she is beautiful. I mean, I guess for some, but she just doesn't, she's not bothered by that. She just don't want to make a statement, you know. Whereas on the other hand, she's just meeting up with this Swedish girl, and she's all about, like, you know, like, trying to seduce men or whatever she was trying to do. And then when that guy went to follow her, when she burst out crying, that was so so painful to see, bless her.
Yeah, well, they've made it, they kind of set that up so that she appears slightly like prudish, because the Swedish girl, the first time you see her, she's just got a pair of pants on, basically, where she's, because they're on the beach and she's been in the sea, like, topless and all this stuff. Yeah. So she's like liberated. She's like sexually open woman. And then, and then when she's like, why don't you take this off? Like, whatever. She's like, no, I just want to keep it on. Like, I'm cool. Thanks. And then, that scene, that was one of my favorite scenes, actually, was when she was sitting and those two blokes come over, because you're, I thought it was really well done how you're watching with her their conversation, their back and forth, and that kind of flirting and that kind of, like, you know,
The nonsense of it.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that cringy. But the fact they're both like quite comfortable with it as well. And they're just like, you know, there's that back and forth, and she's obviously, she can't, well, you just, she, that kind of superficial kind of level, she's just not about that kind of like flirt. She can't flirt, basically, but in that way. and all this. But she says, like, just before that, I think, how she feels like she hasn't got anything to give. She doesn't feel like she can offer anything. And that's, and it's really tragic. And then, yeah, when she runs off and the guy's like harassing her still. So we'll go for a walk on the beach. It's cool. Like, whatever. She's like, you know, she's basically like, I'm not on your level. Like, we're two very different people. And runs off. But it just feels like, you know, I can, when she says like, I feel worthless and all this stuff, you do kind of get a sense of it. Cause it's almost like,
yeah,
nobody's really interested in her, as you said, like in who she is. It's mm-hmm. more just, yeah, like superficial or just saying things for the sake of saying things. I don't know. Yeah, it's quite sad.
It is,
yeah. And yeah, especially that scene where we're saying about how it's like you feel it's kind of funny because they're talking about funny stuff. It's very sad because she's kind of watching it. You feel the anxiety because it cuts back and the other two are just sitting there kind of watching the mm-hmm. flirt and all that. And I was like, this is really genius in the way that it's actually being able to kind of take all those emotions and play with it, basically. That's kind of why it's one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, and it makes you think as well, like, what if, you know, she just like let go of all of these people in her life, all these toxic people, and she just like reads books and just be alone, you know? What if, basically? It just makes you wonder, you know? But yeah, I just love how simple it is in that way.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I guess everyone or anyone can sort of understand it because of the simplicity of the movie, you know, mm-hmm. of the film. But at the same time, it's just like on the next level in a way, you know, it just challenges, the audience, whoever is watching.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It was, let's talk about the ending as well. So, After all this, she goes to like four or five different locations. There's one time when she goes to the mountains.
Yeah.
She doesn't even unpack her bags. She doesn't even stay there. She goes back that night. What do you think that bit was about? That's not the ending, by the way. I've kind of jumped off into another tangent here. But what do you think that was about? Because again, she went to they talk about the mountains a fair bit leading up to this. And then you see her walk up. She kind of walks around. I think she might cry again. And I'd make that sound bad.
Yeah, but I just feel like there was something about that specific. Wasn't it related to her like ex-partner or something? Or
really?
It gave me the feeling that she was there before, and it kind of like she got this really bad vibe about it. So she just kind of like left.
Okay, I must have missed that. Yeah, because I was just like, she's like gone to the top of a mountain and thought, I'm done. Well, she actually comes down, I think, and says like, I'm bored. I'm going to take my stuff and go back. I just wondered if there was any kind of like...
Yeah, but she's restless. I mean, it's just, shows you how restless she is with... It's just, again, like major anxiety. It's just, she's just contemplating constantly, you know, rather than actually sitting with her thoughts and perhaps maybe approaching it from a pragmatic way and actually resolving some things. She just can't sit with herself. Like, she can't. She's just from one thing to the other, just restless throughout.
And I think that's it. Like, when she goes into these isolated spaces, that seemingly is where she gets the most upset, because it probably, you know, it's focusing on the fact that she is by herself and alone and she's got no one to talk to. You can imagine being at the top of a mountain might, you know, draw that out.
The contemplation.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't, you know, I've got no one to talk to. Like, I'm not surrounded by anyone. It's literally just me. As you said, like, she can't sit with herself, like, whatsoever. And on her bloody 3-month holiday, however long she's taken at this place. As well, the end, she's reading The Idiot by Dostoevsky in a train station. And this guy kind of makes a move, but like through the book. So rather than just being like creepy or weird, I believe he opens up by talking about, which I think she's like, oh, you're looking at my book or something like that. I can't remember, but,
she does.
Yeah. And he's like, I've read it basically. So already she's like, oh, he's a little bit like me. And they pretty much hit it off straight away. And he seemed rather like nice, intelligent and normal. I mean, like, God knows, but she opens up fast. And she even says that. She's like, once I meet someone who I feel like can receive me or something, then I just let it all go.
It was so out of her character, wasn't it? And in the fact that she was like, oh, I hate train stations because I hate leaving and stuff like that. It was just like so, it was so nice to see her in her own element. Mm. So to speak with people who are on the same frequency as she is, it was just like, really, really, a really nice moment. Mm. Although, obviously, it still gives me a bit of like, anxiety just because... Is this really what she wants in a way?
Mm. Yeah. Well, she opens up to such a degree that I was thinking, this guy's probably gonna like, this guy's gonna be like, okay, we're just going for a drink. But he seems to dig it. But it's the first proper like actual conversation that they have, because the rest of the movie is like people talking at her or trying to fix her or telling her what she should be doing or what to do, and she gets frustrated and sometimes she'll like lash out and be like, I don't know what I'm doing and all this stuff, but this is the first time where she's like, here's how I actually, you know, without it being like a blowing point or whatever, you know what I mean, she's just actually now like, I'm having a proper conversation with someone who's genuinely interested in me.
Yeah,
which is nice. And then they go, and he's like, they go to watch the sunset, and he's like, yeah, come stay with me for like a couple of days. And she's like, just wait until after this. And then they watch the sun go down and they see the green ray, which apparently was like a little special effect that wasn't captured in camera. It was CG. To say, she cries a bit, and that's basically the end. And it feels like that she's succeeded in a really. It's a really weird thing, and also like as I was saying, like it has that violin over the top, which makes it sound like a bit scary and weird and awkward, because it's like maybe this is not going to turn out so great, like. But you get the feeling like she's now, she's seen this rare thing. she's got this insight now, and that's why she was saying wait, because she wanted to, as if that was going to kind of decide for her whether this guy was worth trusting. I don't know, but
that's why it kind of like really appeals to me, because she's just like literally contradicting herself all the time. Mm-hmm. She just doesn't want to conform for whatever society wants to do, but at the same time she wants some book to decide for her, you know. Mm-hmm. like it's almost as it's going to be detrimental to her destiny, but is it really, or is it because you're perplexed and you can't make a decision of your own because you're too scared to even like, you know, open the Pandora's box in a way, so you'd rather go with something like mystical or superstitious in a way. So it's just like a bit paradoxical how I see it. It's just I don't think she's really fulfilling in a way this like optimal freedom that she's craving for, or whatever she's trying to do, you know. She's just like she's just almost letting a bit go, but almost like just sitting with that mystical thing and letting this thing decide for her, which is just so bizarre.
It comes back to like green being this color of hope, which they say in the film and all this stuff. So it is, I think it's trying to be an uplifting ending. I think it wants to be, and that, you know, maybe she'll turn out all right. But it was, it was weird. Like, personally, like that whole, I kind of felt like I went on a weird journey in the sense of like this woman, I thought she was a bit like wet, to be honest, to begin with. And all this, and basically like a little bit pathetic to a degree. And I think maybe that's, I don't know if that's on purpose or not, but I think there's definitely that they're trying to make her a sympathetic figure at least. And I've interpreted it as pathetic. I've taken the sim out and I've kept the pathetic. It's just they're saying more about me than anything else. And then obviously kind of warming up to her, and she's jumping around a lot and you feel sorry for her. And all this. And then, by the end, it's weird because you feel like I felt like I knew her weirdly, quite intimately. And I did honestly just want her to just be all right, basically.
That's true.
Yeah. And I wouldn't really have thought that from those first, few scenes that I would been left in the position of being a bit like, I hope she's all right. I hope she does, she does make it. But I feel like that's kind of part of the beauty of the film.
From her, He always leaves you with a bit of like, I wonder how that's going to turn out.
I don't know.
I feel like that character specifically is just was made to kind of like annoy you in all the wrong ways in a way. It's just like, sometimes it's hard to live with yourself, you know, especially if you're like an overthinker or you've got some, I don't know, other mental health conditions, be it anxiety, be it depression. It's just really hard when you can't fit in what you call it, like a mold, I guess. You know, it's just society disapproves of you immediately when they see that you're different. Just hard to be different, you know. It's just like, everyone picks on that. Everyone picks that you're different, like the character in this film, The Greenery. She's different, and everyone was picking up on that, basically, you know. Like, do this, do that, do this. Why can't you just find a guy and go on holiday? Why can't you just have sex with that random guy? Why do you always want to have deep conversations? You know, it's just like, just very bizarre.
Yeah. And I think that's quite, I quite liked the fact that she was kind of like warts and all, because there are elements where, you know, we've probably made her sound like, maybe I haven't, but as in like that she is like the hero, the protagonist, but that we are supposed to sympathize with, but she is at times like quite rude. She is essentially taking liberties of other people, of their generosity, but open, like not, you know, not in a advantageous way. Well, it isn't advantageous, but it's in like she's using their holiday homes and then moaning about it. Like everyone's kind of bending over backwards slightly for her. And it's like there's an element where I'm just like, she almost has that flair for drama or something like that, where it's, you know, but I'm not, but there is that element where it's a bit like, yeah, just, you know, where she just, you know, the guy is like giving her the keys to the thing. She's like, you know what, I'm just going to go. Or like, you know, one of the guys is just, you know, just going to, oh, do you want to, you know, go out tonight? He's not really done anything. He might be a bit sleazy. And she's gone from being like, quite like, oh, okay, cool, to like, actually, I've got a bad vibe of you and I don't want to talk to you, which is all fine, but it's not like, they've not done anything to be like, he's
bipolar,
bipolar, yeah. But no, it's not like as if like, you know, oh, the guys that she's, you know, that are chatting her up and stuff are really, like, they look a bit like rough or whatever, but they're not like, you know, rapists or something like that.
And yeah, it's not confused. Horrible people.
Exactly. It's like she got out of that one. That could have, you know, she's not too much of like the heroine, I'm trying to say, basically. She does have like her faults, and that's what I quite liked about it as well.
I don't know, but isn't that part of like social anxiety? You come across as like very rude sometimes just because you just can't in your head, you know? I don't know whether you can relate to it, but it's just like, yeah. Or maybe I just love this character so much that I'm just like, I can't see the bad sides of this character. Sorry about that. I'm so sorry, whoever is listening.
She's too good. No, I thought there was that. I thought there was an element where it felt very like real and deep. And that, yeah, sometimes it can, even if it's not meant to, if it's not meant to be rude, sometimes it can appear rude. But that's part of it. And that's why, like, she's not like an anti-hero or like, we don't hate her for it or anything like that. But yeah, that kind of, again, it's kind of those, that mixture of emotions that you kind of, you know, they're like, where's she going? Like, is she, you know, and they're like, no, they like you. Like, she likes you and stuff. She's had fun. But all that. And that's kind of, again, it kind of making you feel awkward and anxious. And she's not even in the scene. She's not even in on some of these parts. Generally, I thought it was quite a nice watch. It's something a bit different. And I like the improvised nature of it as well. Like,
The dialogue, eh? Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in French as well. It's just always, anything in French sounds good.
It does.
You could really tell like how it was shot. Sometimes it looked like a bit like a doc, but you could tell like some of those characters, it's like, they're like real people saying, like when it was the grandpa talking about going to the mountains or whatever, and he saw the sea when he was 60, like I was thinking, he's probably real. Like, he's probably a real person and this is probably the truth. And that gives it a nice kind of
realism. Yeah, it's so good. Even like if you watch some Varda, it's almost always like that as well. It's always very like documentary based, or she finds like little things and then she just kind of like, yeah, makes up this narrative around this little thing that other people might not even be aware of it. And I just love the simplicity of that. And obviously all of these topics are very much close to home. I'm currently reading this, which ties in pretty well.
Yeah, Jean Paul.
The Age of Reason. Yeah. And this as well. But it's not as existential as...
Chaise Lange. I don't know what that is. I know it's what Baxter a Chaise Lange Drury. Is. Who's Baxter Drury? I don't know.
Yeah. It's just, I really like his stuff, Baxter Dury's stuff. And it's just a biography of him. But yeah, he's pretty existential as well. I mean, his lyrics, he's more of a poet actually. But yeah, I guess
Who is he? Am I stupid for not knowing who he is?
So Ian Dury, do you know?
Yeah, Ian Dury, yeah.
Oh, Baxter is his son.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, Ian Dury and the Blockheads.
Oh, you need to listen to his stuff. I bet you'll like it.
Oh, really? Yeah, I didn't even know he existed. I didn't even know Ian Dury had a son. Okay, yeah, cool. I'll check it out. That's I feel like I should know that, but yeah, sadly.
Oh no, that's okay. Don't worry.
No, good. I don't think I've got anything else to say on the Green Ray. I feel like I've said pretty much everything I could say about it. But it'd be good to know, like, what other films would you say that have kind of influenced you in your years, and not only musically, just in your life?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Sidewalk by Merkin as well, who's this experimental filmmaker. It's just literally her with her film camera, basically like a one take of like her filming the sidewalk, literally the sidewalk, but the way she uses the camera and everything is just it's just brilliant.
Okay.
And I would say something from Agnès Varda.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps The Beaches of Agnès, and what else? The Karate Kid as well. Is that what it's called?
Karate Kid?
Yeah, I think it's called The Karate Kid. Oh God.
Are you,
I can't remember Mr. what Miyagi. It's called, but there's, pardon?
Mr. Miyagi. Wax on, wax off.
Not The Karate Kid. I'd have to research this. Oh dear, I always get the titles.
I was gonna say, it's it would be an amazing pick that you've ended on one of your most influential films as after those as The Karate Kid, filmed by directed by John Avildsen, who I actually met. Actually, it's virtual. But,
wow!
Interviewed for a BBC thing, and this is a funny story about John Avildsen. So he was really—he's dead now, but he was really old. To be honest, I mean, he was old when he did like Rocky and Karate Kid. But I had to contact him because I was doing something with the BBC, and we were supposed to film in Philadelphia. And because it was raining, he didn't go to the airport. So we were all in Philadelphia, and he just didn't turn up because it was raining in LA. And right. We've got like everything's booked, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm not going to come." So yeah, we had to send a camera crew to his house basically to shoot him, and I had to direct it remotely, which you know wasn't too much of a thing those days. But what made me laugh is that after I used to set up, this is such a random story. After I was contacting him and being like, "Okay, here's some stuff we're going to talk about," blah, 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 he started sending me like pictures. He was like, "Here's me skydiving." Okay. So it's like a picture of him, God. like whatever, and he's like, yeah, and this is just like really random stuff like from his life. I've not asked him any he'd every now and then just email me going like, "Hey, just checking in, how's it all going, how are you doing," and all this stuff. But I was like, it's just so weird, this is the weirdest thing. John Avildsen.
That is all day. Yeah. But yeah, the film that I meant is Kung Fu Master.
Kung Fu Master. No, yeah. I don't know. And it sounds like it could be.
That is definitely not The Karate Kid, but yeah, my brain just doesn't.
Well, hold on. I'm going to Google it. So Kung Fu Master, which to be honest, it could be any film in my head. It's come up with an arcade game, which isn't probably not the right one. It's not, it's Ip Man. Is it Ip Man?
It's by Agnès Varda, so.
Oh, right. Hold on.
And Jane Birkin as well, she's in it.
Right. Okay, yes. No, I don't know this and I've not seen it. A middle-aged divorcee falls in love with a 14-year-old classmate of her daughter's. Oh, it's Charlotte Gainsborough. That's interesting. I've never heard of this.
It's really good. It is really good.
Is honestly. It as good as Karate Kid, though, which you have established as one of your favorite movies of all time?
I actually haven't seen Karate Kid. Is that a sin?
You're missing out. God. You're missing out. I don't know.
Oh, no.
It's one of those films that I saw when I was a kid, and I have absolutely no idea if it stands the test. If it stands the test of time. Great soundtrack.
I'll have to watch it. Yeah, I'll watch it tonight. I'll try and pirate it, maybe.
Yeah, and then
I'm not supposed to say that. They'll track me down.
Yeah, they'll get okay, you. Yeah. No, it will be. You don't have to do that. I'm sure it's available on all legal sources.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, but yeah, I'd be interested in what you think about it compared to Kung Fu Master. Which looks a lot more serious. Why is it called Kung Fu Master? If it's about something like that,
It's because the guy, the little one, who actually happened to be Maniz Varda's son, plays this game at the arcades, and it's called that.
Right.
So misleading, isn't it?
I was going to say, if I'm going to like a Blockbuster or whatever it would be in the day,
yeah,
and I saw, oh, well, Kung Fu Master, I'll get that, thinking it's Mr. Miyagi and all this stuff, waiting for that. And then I put it on, even though I've not seen this, and I'd be like, where's the Kung Fu going to, when's the Kung Fu going to start?
Yeah, exactly. It's so weird, honestly. But yeah, it's quite cool. And who else do I like? Hanukkah. Gotten into Hanukkah. Seven Continents is just like...
Yeah. I've not seen that either. I think the last one I saw of is it Hanukkah? I don't even know how to say it. Because it's White Ribbon.
Maybe Happy Ending? Did you see that one? That's the most recent one.
No. I think White Ribbon was literally the last thing I saw. But that was... Jesus, that's 12 years ago. Fucking hell. I saw that in cinema.
Yeah, my partner got me into Hanukkah, actually. And then for his birthday, I ended up buying him the original PR booklet of the Seventh Continent. It took me ages. And I'm like in like a lot of Facebook film groups, right. Weird film groups, I guess. And I just went on all of these film groups and got all of these like film nerds to like help me find something like original. I managed to find it from like Germany. Mm. And thankfully it arrived. But that was a mission. Yeah, it was a mission to find the original.
I think from my side, it reminds me of like some Casavitas stuff. That maybe like A Woman Under the Influence. It's not quite as like hardcore as that, but in terms of, you know, mental health and stuff. But yeah, just that kind of, it feels real. That was kind of the main film I was thinking of as I was watching it. I think it was definitely an experience.
I'm glad to hear. And I'm sorry that I suggested something that was just a bit like, I don't know, a bit more indie, I guess.
It's good. I was saying the other day to Dan, who I normally co-host this with, the fact that I haven't seen any proper foreign cinema for ages, basically. I've just got into that, and like we were kind of talking about before, like Netflix, Prime, whatever. Like just, what's on? And go through that rather than what I used to do, which is like seeking out stuff or going to like indie cinemas and all this. So it's nice to kind of see something that I probably would have studied back in the day as well.
Yeah, that's what I do these days in my free time. I don't know, the little free time that I have when we're not on tour, you know, to kind of like, especially when we're writing, I just have to see a lot of films.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's just like my favorite thing to do, I guess. I can't be bothered to do anything else, like going to the pub because I don't drink, or just like going out. I just rather watch tons of films.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you. And so would I. I always rather sit in and watch a film than be out on the lash. much prefer sitting in these days. And for the most part, for the last year or so, we've had to. So that does help. It helps social anxiety when you don't have to socialise. Cool. Thanks very much for coming on the show today and, sharing. It's a very special film for you and, kind of making it, giving a very personal opinion of it because, that's very much appreciated. And I hope I did it justice with my interpretation.
Of course you did.
Cool. So where can people follow you, find your music, etc.? yeah, any plugs you want to do, now's the time.
Yeah, so you can find us on all of the social media. So like Instagram, Jen the Band, on Facebook, Jen as well. Got a YouTube channel, if you want to watch our music videos that I directed. Oh no. but yeah, you can find us on Bandcamp as well. We've got a website if you want to catch us on tour, and we've got all our dates there, and we're currently touring the UK, so if you can catch us somewhere, that would be great. Please come and say hi. I would love to have a chat with you, especially about film. I'll try not to bore you, but I'll try my best.
That's it. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you on the next one. Goodbye.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Have a good evening.
Bye. Hey guys, thank you for listening to Oddcast Movies, Music and Gaming. If you want to get in touch with us or get a movie, album or game put on our list to discuss, then email us at oddcastoddballs@gmail.com. or anewwinterpodcast@gmail.com. This is part of a New Winter Podcast Network, so head on over to anewwinter.net to check out our other shows. You can also follow us on Instagram @anewwinter, Twitter @anewwinter, and you can head on over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/anewwinter. Thanks for listening, and see you again soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.